Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Wears Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. It's a joy to be on the Wilkins Network. We have just added several stations to the places where we were heard before, and we would like to hear from you that it was a good decision. So please contact us. You can call us toll-free at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE. Or you can visit us on the web, pastorwood.org. Folks, my guest today is Stephanie Barclay. She is with the Beckett Fund. We've had various representatives from the Beckett Fund on this broadcast before because of the very important work that they do in defending the religious freedom of folks here in this country. Stephanie is joined the Beckett Fund as legal counsel in 2015 after working pro bono to defend numerous religious liberty clients during her time at Covington and Burling in Washington, D.C. So, Stephanie, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me.
Now, tell us about what happened, because you folks had a pretty big victory regarding the Little Sisters of the Poor, and now it seems that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit is not exactly going along with the spirit of the previous decision. At least that's the way I take it. Tell us what happened.
That's right. So I'll start by telling you about the victory, then I'll tell you about how the Tenth Circuit is going astray a little bit.
Good.
Last year, the government was trying aggressively to enforce its penalties against the Little Sisters of the Poor before they had even had their day in court. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court stepped in and essentially pushed pause and said, "We're going to protect the Little Sisters and give them space to have their day in court before the government can try and crush them with millions and millions of dollars of fines."
Right.
And so it's important to keep in mind that the Supreme Court only grants that type of relief in very rare cases, mm-hmm. where the petitioner, in this case the Little Sisters of the Poor, is clearly deserving of the protection and where they have a strong case.
Yes.
And so the Supreme Court still said they have to get their final victory and they have to move forward and go through the court process. So on July 14th, we received the ruling from a three-judge panel at the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they did not provide protection for the Little Sisters of the Poor. Hmm. These judges essentially told this group of Catholic nuns who have served the poor for over 175 years because of their faith that their theology is wrong and that they, the courts, have a better idea than the Little Sisters about where to draw the line on religious decisions like moral complicity. Mm-hmm. And so one argument that the Little Sisters deeply believe in and will continue to make is that the government has no authority to instruct nuns about what actions do or do not violate their faith.
Right. I am so grateful that the Beckett Fund has been consistent in taking this sort of stand for people to be able to exercise conscience and engage in behavior that is consistent with religious liberty and therefore with our U.S. Constitution. But as you know, and as many of our listeners are aware, painfully aware, there are a lot of folks who feel like the new secular dogma that is being forced on us by segments of the government trumps religious liberty. And we're in that kind of situation right now. Now, previously, as you stated, the U.S. Supreme Court had shown favor toward the Little Sisters of the Poor. Tell us a little bit more of who they are. Who are the Little Sisters of the Poor? What exactly do they do for people who are in difficult circumstances?
the Little Sisters of the Poor take care of some of the most vulnerable people in society, and that is our elderly poor. And the Little Sisters make sure that someone will be with them until their last dying breath and show them love, the type of love that Christ would give. Mm-hmm. And these Little Sisters serve with a dedication and a passion that money cannot buy and that the law cannot require. Mm-hmm. And they do so because of their faith. And so it's really untenable for the government to now put them in a position where they have to choose between the faith that motivates this ministry and being able to continue this ministry. And the government keeps trying to say, don't worry, Little Sisters, we understand how this religious question works better than you, and really what we're asking you to do isn't a big burden on your faith. But I don't know about you, Jim, but when there's a dispute about religious belief, and we've got the nuns on one side of the debate and we've got the federal government on the other side of the debate, I'm going to put my money on the nuns every time.
I would say that's true. What is it that the government is so eager for them to do? What is it that they have resisted doing that the government wants?
So to answer that question, let me first tell you what the Little Sisters would like and then what the government is trying to do instead. What
sure.
The Little Sisters would like is to be treated just like their brothers, the Catholic bishops. And for groups like that, the government has said, we're just going to leave you alone. We're not going to ask you to give us information about your health infrastructure that you've put together or your health plans or have to sign any forms authorizing us to move forward and provide contraception on your behalf. We're just going to leave you totally out of it. You don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Little Sisters of the Poor, frankly, were to walk over and hand over the keys to the Catholic bishops and say, you run our program, we'll just do everything at your behest, they'd be able to get that protection.
Mm-hmm.
But what the government has said to the Little Sisters is, you aren't religious enough, you women, to be able to receive that same protection. What we need you to do is we need you to authorize us and give us the government permission to provide these contraceptives and abortifacients on your behalf. And by the way, we're going to do it with the health infrastructure that you have put together, and we need you to authorize us and hand over the information for us to do it. Don't worry, you don't have to pay for it, but we still want you ultimately to be the ones through your plans giving out these drugs and devices that you disagree with. And
so
the Little Sisters, they're saying, we are still at that point being morally complicit in
right.
this facilitation of the contraceptives and abortifacients, and you're forcing us to associate now with a health plan that no longer reflects our religious beliefs, whereas in the past it always has, and that violates our sincerely held religious beliefs.
Now, I'm tempted to say that it sounds like a war on women, but I know that's really not what it is.
Yeah, it is a little ironic that in this case, these women are certainly being attacked by the federal government.
Yeah, and the reason is because we know that nuns need abortifacients. I mean, you know, that's just something essential, especially elderly nuns. We think it's very important that old nuns have a birth control plan. This is not just irrational on the part of the federal government. This is pure, unmitigated hostility. I mean, there's no other way for me to see this. This is a deliberate effort to brutally force women of faith to do something that violates their conscience. There is no compelling government interest here. This is simply bureaucrats being bullies. And I think that kind of evil has to be answered. And the Beckett Fund is an organization that has been there for all kinds of groups. Stephanie Barkley of counsel with the Beckett Fund has represented, for instance, the rights of a Muslim to practice his faith while in prison. Because Stephanie understands that if the First Amendment is going to guarantee religious freedom for Christians, it has to also guarantee religious freedom for non-Christians. But our federal government doesn't seem to understand that. They feel that there ought to be religious freedom for anybody who agrees with them and no religious freedom for people who don't agree with them. That is unconstitutional. We have the government behaving in an unconstitutional way because there are people who are determined to force their agenda, their pro-abortion, pro-death agenda on people who disagree. And so, again, what does the Beckett Fund do in order to counter this, Stephanie?
So that's a great question, and I appreciate your description of the way that the Beckett Fund does defend religious liberty of all kinds of groups. And you're right that if the First Amendment is going to protect religious liberty for anybody, it has to protect religious liberty for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The Little Sisters are deeply committed to standing up on this issue. They're looking at it carefully, and if that means continuing to fight this all the way to the Supreme Court, that's a step that they're willing to take. So right now, before the Supreme Court, there are already four other petitions pending where groups have asked the Supreme Court to take their case. And one of those petitions is one that the Beckett Fund has also led the charge on, mm-hmm. and that is on behalf of two Baptist universities and a seminary out of Texas. And so if the Little Sisters move forward and appeal this to the Supreme Court and add as the fifth cert petition, we anticipate that the Supreme Court will likely consider these cases in the fall, and they'll decide at that time whether they want to take one of these cases for their coming term.
Now, you mentioned that there are other folks being impacted by this, and I certainly am praying that the Little Sisters will be successful in it, but I want to note that the court's order, this from the Tenth Circuit here, their order doesn't just harm the Little Sisters, it also harms Christian Brothers Service, or Christian Brothers mm-hmm. Services, and Christian Brothers Employee Benefit Trust, which are Catholic mm-hmm. ministries through which the Little Sisters obtain their health coverage.
That's absolutely right. And so, there's an interesting point about that, because the Christian Brothers Services, the government at least says right now, it's not exactly clear what authority the government has over this group to force them to comply. And so the government has tried to say, see, Little Sisters, that means that if you sign this form, then it's not going to be a big deal because it's not clear that the Christian Brothers would provide these drugs anyway. But there's two problems with that argument. First of all, if it is the case that no drugs are going to be provided at all, then the government has just admitted they have no compelling interest in continuing to threaten to crush the Little Sisters with millions of dollars of fines because nothing's going to happen anyway. But if, as the Little Sisters are concerned, it's possible that something will happen because the government keeps changing the law, and for all we know, tomorrow they could make a new law that will make it more difficult for the Christian Brothers.
Right.
And the Little Sisters do business with other groups as well that are willing to provide the drugs and services. The Little Sisters keep saying, look, we're just not willing to move forward and provide the authority that you would need to take this step to offer the drugs and services on our behalf.
Right.
And especially when the government has its own insurance exchanges that the Supreme Court recently affirmed can be expanded broadly to provide contraceptives to any American in the country, then it becomes really difficult, a real head scratcher, to understand why the government keeps trying to twist Little Sisters' arms and say, but the only way we can get these drugs and devices is on the backs of Little Sisters of the Poor. It just makes no sense at this point.
Well, I want to talk with you about two aspects of that. One is, I want to be sure people understand. You said that the government is trying to exact millions of dollars in penalties mm-hmm. from these ladies mm-hmm. or from their organization. Is that an exaggeration, or are we talking millions of dollars here?
Oh, no, we're really talking millions upon millions of dollars if they don't comply with this mandate.
So this,
and remember that the government has also politically exempted thousands and thousands of businesses from the mandate for pure political reasons
right.
or reasons of convenience.
So it's not as if the government doesn't make exceptions and that everybody has to comply. The government has mm-hmm. made lots of exceptions, but they're threatening these folks, saying, we're not going to give you an exception. And if you don't
right.
go along with what we're trying to force you to do that goes against your conscience, we're going to charge you millions of dollars in fines.
Mm-hmm.
How
exactly
big
right.
is the Little Sisters of the Poor? I'd never heard of them until this case came along. Until there was Obamacare, I didn't know about the Little Sisters of the Poor. Are there millions of Little Sisters?
The Little Sisters have different homes that operate all across the country, and they've mm-hmm. been doing this for 175 years. They're very committed to this work, but you probably haven't heard about them a lot because they don't usually like to be out in the limelight. They're very humble. They're not out looking for a fight.
They don't have
a
big PR budget.
Good work.
They don't have a big PR budget. They're not running national commercials.
Oh, that's a great point, too. So the little sisters get their money by literally going door to door and begging. They beg for funds so that they can care for the poor. So these are some of the most humble, down-to-earth women you will ever meet in your entire life. And so they would much rather just be able to get back to completely focusing on their work than having to be involved in this fight. But they've said, we cannot be put in this position where we have to choose between our faith and our ministry, and that we shouldn't have to make that choice. And
right.
So we will stand committed to this principle and hope that the Supreme Court, if it eventually takes the case, if the sisters move forward with that, will protect that principle so that they can continue to do the good, humble work in the background that they've been doing for so many years.
All right, folks, we've got to take a break, but we're talking with Stephanie Barkley of the Beckett Fund, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today. Or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch.
You can hear Pastor
because
Jim
I'm often
Wood's
speaking
teachings
to a
24/7.
Room full of children.
Please
you
visit
may occasionally hear background noises
we're giving a
or illustrations
thank you
and vocabulary
any
chosen for a
July.
Child's frame of reference.
Three questions is a
but
book
the one
written
thing
by Pastor Wood
I pray
with a foreword
you will hear every
Graham.
Time.
To receive
God's
your
word.
Free copy,
the
just
eternal,
request it along with your gift.
Word which points
please
us
visit
to
pastorwood.org today.
I'm
that's
delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
We're continuing our conversation with Stephanie Barkley. She is counsel with the Beckett Fund, and we're talking about the Little Sisters of the Poor and a very bad decision by the 10th Circuit Court and some very bad unconstitutional behavior on the part of the executive branch of our government. I know you find that hard to believe, but that's what we're talking about. Mark Renzi, who is senior counsel of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty and lead attorney on this case, made this statement. We're disappointed with today's decision. After losing repeatedly at the Supreme Court, the government continues its unrelenting pursuit of the Little Sisters of the Poor. Let me restate that and reemphasize it. Just repeat it, really. After losing repeatedly, talking about the government losing repeatedly, after losing repeatedly at the Supreme Court, the government continues its unrelenting pursuit of Little Sisters of the Poor. It is a national embarrassment that the world's most powerful government insists that instead of providing contraceptives through its own existing exchanges and programs, it must crush the Little Sisters' faith and force them to participate. Untold millions of people have managed to get contraceptives without involving nuns, and there is no reason that the government cannot run its programs without hijacking the Little Sisters and their health plan. This, folks, is just, as he said, embarrassment. It is an embarrassing evil. There is no reason, no compelling interest on the part of the government to do this, except when the bureaucrats are bullies. There is no constitutional authority to do what they're doing. And they have repeatedly lost at the Supreme Court. But they're not satisfied. They're determined that these nuns are going to be forced to be complicit in giving out drugs and devices that they know are abortifacient. So I am grateful for the courage and the persistence and the faith of these nuns who are determined. And everybody who listens to my program on a regular basis, you know that I am not a big supporter of Roman Catholicism. But I tell you, the courage that they have shown, the humility that they have shown, the persistence that they have shown, the unwillingness to compromise is a model of biblical faith for the rest of us. And I pray that God will protect them, and I pray that God will give them victory in this case. And I want to again commend the Beckett Fund for the fact that they are out there helping to lead this fight. In the case of the Little Sisters, they are the tip of the spear. They are the ones who are standing up in court on their behalf. Stephanie Barclay, you had an interest in this kind of thing before you went to work with the Beckett Fund this year. Tell us a little bit about how, in your own heart, you determined that it was important to take a stand on these sorts of issues.
Well, thank you, Jim, for that support, and I know the Little Sisters will appreciate any prayers that they can get. When I was doing pro bono work at a firm before coming to the Beckett Fund, and I represented clients that had different faith than me, mm-hmm. I remember one of my clients, when he was explaining his religious beliefs to me, he said, "This may not sound very important to you. I'm sure, you know, you believe differently." And it was really powerful for me to be able to tell him, "Look, I may not share your faith, but I absolutely will defend the right of you to practice your faith, because I think that that is a fundamental, foundational freedom that makes our country great, and that ensures that we're able to have all types of freedoms. I think that the tree of liberty has its roots in religious liberty, and,
yes.
and that's one of the best barometers of how we are doing as a nation when it comes to freedom."
Amen. Amen. The First Amendment, not the Fifth Amendment, not the Third Amendment, not even the Second Amendment. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That doesn't mean showing respect for one. It means regarding an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Let me repeat that phrase. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Mm-hmm. There is no constitutional authority for Congress to create a law that prohibits the free exercise of religion or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Folks, we have gone so far from that. Our widely understood, misunderstood perception in this country as to what the First Amendment is all about, it's just tragic that people can't read. I encourage folks, get a copy of the Constitution of the United States. It's a short document. It's not long. This is nothing like reading the tax code. This isn't like having to do your taxes where it's like, oh my word, my eyes are glazing over, my thoughts are just in absolute confusion. No, the Constitution is written in English. It's very understandable, and the amendments, without which the Constitution would not have been ratified, the amendments are likewise very clear. The first 10 amendments are called the Bill of Rights. And they were ratified effective December 15th, 1791. They've been around a while. So please understand this. This is what is at stake. If one group, like the Little Sisters, can be denied their religious freedom, the rest of us can just as easily be denied ours. And so I would hope that people who don't necessarily agree theologically or even culturally, if you think, who cares whether or not an IUD brings about an abortion? Who cares whether or not a birth control pill brings about an abortion?
Or
the week after pill. Who cares? Who cares? Well, you may not care about that, but if you don't stand up for those who do care, then don't be surprised when your liberty is gone too, because you've just given away the whole thing. And that is what we're dealing with right now in this country. We have an executive branch and many, unfortunately, within the judicial branch and some in the congressional legislative branch who are absolutely holding in contempt their fellow citizens who disagree with them, and they are determined to use whatever power they have in order to stop people from exercising their own freedom of religion. And folks, I'm telling you, it can't continue this way. There has to be a turning point. The Beckett Fund is working peaceably through the courts in order to ask that the rule of law be upheld, that the constitutional rights of citizens and groups be upheld. And I want you to pray. If you're listening to this today and this is upsetting to you, pray. Get involved in spiritual warfare, praying for truth to prevail, praying for right to prevail, praying that the Beckett Fund will be wise and effective in their arguments, and that they will prevail at the Supreme Court, because that's what's needed here. We need a clear, decisive ruling. And if you're saying, man, I don't trust that Supreme Court, I don't either. I trust God. And God is able to work through the U.S. Supreme Court just as he was able to work through Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, all kinds of forceful non-believers down through the ages. So, Stephanie Barclay, thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you as you continue your good work, and please know that we appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your support, and God bless you as well.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.